Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. Our guest today, been in the entertainment game for 20 years, stand-up, rapping, but mainly acting. He's been in some of the best black hood TV shows and films, Moesha, Real Husbands of Hollywood, Games People Play, Power Book 2, the star of the iconic ATL as well, for everybody, you know, back in the day who... I remember seeing you in that shit, and I was like, damn, this is an elegant-ass movie. You really did your thing in there, man. Well, we got Jackie Long here in the building, man. Appreciate you pulling up.
Come on, man. Yes, what's up? Yes, I'm with some OG legends today. I guess we all old. Shit. You 40 just like me.
We got a live Beyonce with it.
Beyonce. Okay, say no more.
You
23. 23 still.
Shit. I feel it.
They see the gray.
I feel it. 40.
You 40?
Yeah, I just turned 40.
Come on. You 81 baby, too.
Yeah. 82. I'm 82, baby.
You 82? When your birthday?
January. So
okay.
I just turned.
I'm 82. You skipped
I'm 81, October 23rd.
You skipped a grade?
Back then, you know, everybody just wanted you to get out of the house. Well, now you going to go to school now. Yeah, I'm going to school now.
I'm October.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Scorpio, baby.
So we got a lot of great shit to hit you on, but first and foremost, news just recently broke that Michael Jordan rejected Idris Elba's request to play him in a movie. So if we had to pick an actor who you think had enough game, you could say yourself too, to play MJ.
The dude that been in Hollywood for years dressing like Michael Jordan, the Michael Jordan outfit in Hollywood, he should have had a role. And y'all know who I'm talking about. He deserved a role more than anybody. I don't care who it is. But Idris Elba, I love Idris, don't get me wrong, but I just think playing Michael Jordan, he's too old now. Like, he couldn't play young or old. It's like he looked damn near older than Jordan right now. And that's my dog. I'm just being real. Uh-huh. You know, but far as somebody playing like Michael Jordan, honestly, I can put myself in that category. You know, you got to be somebody like a young and in shape. Not to say Idris isn't, but young and in shape and athletic. That's all I can say, man. But on the list, if it wasn't me or anybody, who could I say?
I appreciate that you said you, though, because that's where I was going. That's where we were leaning towards.
You got to say me, man. It's like I grew up
Michael
Jordan.
You can't fool ball. You can really do it. I can get you the
I leave my
off.
House every day and see Jordan and Kobe on a picture that my boy Lonnie gave me. Mm-hmm. Every day. It's like, come on, man. It's nothing but motivation. But who the heck could I say? I really don't know. You can't say Michael B. Jordan. That's stupid. Michael B. Jordan playing Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
That'd be funny.
That'd be funny, though.
But you know what's so funny? It's one of those things where it's like the, how they did Showtime. Bunch of actors you don't really...
Right.
You don't really know yet.
The height difference is the...
Remember the dude who did Michael Jordan's story a long time ago?
Yeah.
He in jail.
I did not know that.
Killed his wife.
Oh, wow.
Out in Glendale or something. Google it.
Wow.
Google the dude who played Michael Jordan in that Michael Jordan movie. He in jail now. I was going to say him, but I just thought he was in jail.
Yeah, they got to bail him out then. Go ahead, do
somebody
these
used him in a meme like today that I saw randomly, but they were clowning somebody. And they're like, this is the version of Jordan that was out there.
He killed his wife, man. Messed up everything. But I really don't know who can play Jordan. I don't. Me. Just
but
keep it at me.
This is one of those, when you're talking about athletes, it has to, it just... Because you're talking about 6'6 and above.
Not for Hollywood. You could be like, they might be like 5'11, get that off.
Oh, yeah.
To get MJ.
That's like some things, like, that's like asking when who should have did what's Michael Jordan cartoon movie?
Space Jam.
Space Jam.
Who else could have did that? Not LeBron. Somebody else.
Damn.
But I'm not gonna say nothing. I'm not gonna say nothing.
But look, as someone who tried to be an actor, I have to give him his credit that he actually tried to finish it.
I love LeBron, but like that's...
But you can tell, like, when he first, when it, that movie first started, you can be like, woo, okay, B. You know, I know it's months, and then he got better. He got better.
It takes a long time to get there, but he gets there.
Yeah, he gets there
towards the end. But it's like in the first, you're like, oh, yep, yeah.
Damn. But let's be real. Space Jam 1. If you really go back and watch that movie as an adult, are you rocking with
no.
it?
No,
there's issues.
But back then it was bombed.
But you gotta think back in that time, that's what our quality of TV was.
For sure.
And stuff. So and that to see cartoons with Michael Jordan, the characters, it was like, hey, you know, I thought it was cool back yeah. then. I didn't think probably the storyline could have been a little better, you know what I'm saying? Giving us some more juice to it. But other than that, it was something that was interesting to see Michael Jordan, the best player in the world.
No, for sure.
That's why I love it.
But we're adults now. Right? And we're looking at him like, that's trash. Ask a kid about LeBron's win. That's the best thing.
They're gonna think that's the best thing ever.
That's the best thing.
I guess Gil got a point. We grown now, we see stuff different.
My kids have watched it three times.
See, I watched it one and a half. Like the half was the first time. So it was just half and I was done.
Just
shout
the half.
Out to LeBron.
So we talked about Idris Elba, but something I want to hit you on. Obviously grew up in Pasadena.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you know real life. You know about growing up in the hood and things like that. Does it ever bother you? It seems like there's been an influx. And we saw this back in the day with the Sprite commercial. I don't know if y'all remember that. It was the British actors on the hoop, the court, and they was, you know, talking black. Then the director yelled, cut, and then they kind of flipped it. But does it ever bother you to see kind of all these British actors taking all the good hood roles? Like, you know, you got Bruh from Snowfall.
I'll definitely be honest with you. It's definitely a problem, but as an actor and you know what it takes to be in this game. At the end of the day, it's all about learning. Yeah. You gotta learn as much as you can. There's nothing, and with acting, you get education every day because when you do audition, you read lines and words you probably didn't know if you just went to school for 12 years in high school and that was it. If you learning stuff from these auditions and stuff, it's all opportunity, first of all. So you get mad, of course, when you see somebody from Snowfall where they could have got somebody strictly from Cali, me, to play a role like him. And I plant selling dope. I done seen it in real life. Easy role for me. Easy for anybody out here that's from Cali. Could have did it. Now, the point where you get mad because they say these British actors come over here, but this is the part where I don't get mad. I don't get mad, but I'm mad. They're doing something out of their life that they don't have to do, where they're taking the time to go learn how to be West Coast. Mm-hmm. Rather if they get the job or not, they're learning how to do something that we should learn how to do to go get British roles. It's not like we don't have to, that we can't learn how to do British. Mm-hmm. All we have to do is do the same thing that they do, but there's nothing really going on over there to get you popping. So you want to come over here. So yes, I'm mad, but I'm glad as an actor watching these dudes, it makes me motivate myself like, shit, I need to go learn some new languages. Mm-hmm. So I can get in a different commercial that nobody expected me to be in or a movie or a TV show and I'm saying some languages that they say like, damn, he's speaking Spanish in this. It shocks me when I see actors that's black as me and I know them and they've been hanging with me growing up in the business with me and I see like Ghost, the dude, what's his name? Amari, mm-hmm. when he was speaking Spanish on there.
Yeah.
It shocked me. I don't know if he was Spanish or if he ever, but he learned the words and he was speaking it so good. I was like, damn, this is awesome. Mm-hmm. I want to do roles where I have to do different languages and stuff. So like to answer the question, yes, I'm mad. Mm-hmm. But as an actor, I'm looking at it as work. I'm happy for him at the end of the day. You know, he's doing something that you wouldn't even expect. Like, damn, he when it first started, he didn't sound too Cali. But he kept going. Now you listen to it, it's like,
now it's like, damn,
this dude from, is he from the West Coast?
Like, hold up.
You know, and as an actor, I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you gotta, in this game, you have to learn at every level that you at. You should never think that you've learned enough. There's never a day that you should never stop learning. You know, and it'd be things on set sometime, they'll yell it out. I don't know what he said or what it meant. I asked, what the heck, what did he just say? They'd tell me. I said, okay, now I know. Same with when you're going over your auditions. It'd be words. I'd be going out for doctors. I never went to school and have been a doctor. They'd be sending all these words. I'd be like, what is this, Google? How do you pronounce it? What does it mean? But it's all something that I get the opportunity to learn something different. Now I know what it means. And boom, it helps me out in a situation when I have an audition. Like the other day, I don't even want to bring that up. Nope, I ain't gonna bring that up because my agent might see this later. I don't want to bring that up.
We're not trying to
be mad at you. Yeah, I ain't gonna bring that up. But at the end of the day, to answer your question, I'm happy and mad.
So this is something I'm gonna try and draw a comparison here. But we talked about, like, you know, there's been buzz on Twitter talking about AAU versus like guys like Luke who grew up in Europe under different systems and how the training shit's better there, but we got more talent. Do you feel like just kind of your own personal experience getting into acting? What was your training and schooling like to learn how to become an actor?
I honestly started off doing background work first. That was like, that gave me the motivation to be around people. Cause I know I might be crazy and stuff on TV, but I'm really a shy guy. I do crazy shit sometimes to make it comfortable around me. Mm-hmm. Like I own the situation, I own the room. I can fart in this, they gonna laugh. Mm-hmm. But I started off doing, which was background work, and that's extra work, whatever. And that was the confidence that I got from seeing everybody else, like the main actors, like how they dealt with the extras, the fans. And I got to see everything. So by seeing it was like, I found this dude named Keno, who basically just showed me the ropes. He said, man, what you doing here? I said, man, trying to get on TV. He said, how you get on TV? I said, I don't know. He said, man, what you doing right now? You got to get 3 SAG vouchers, first of all, to get in this game.
The 3-piece.
You got to get 3 SAG vouchers to get in this game. From there, you need to find you an acting school or acting class or something where you learn the basics. Not everything, just the basics. I didn't know what what they used to say, slate your name. I didn't even know what slate was at first. They used to give me a side profile. Like, what? What are you talking about? This is basic common sense shit.
Yeah.
But it was stuff where he taught me how to look in the Backstage West to find commercial acting classes, theatrical classes. And I never forget, my first commercial class was J.D. Furtado in Beverly Hills. And then my theatrical teacher was Aaron Spicer, and he's still going to this day, and he trained everybody. And I literally trained from them too for commercials and theatrical. And Aaron Spicer, he just teaches you a way of acting where, say, for instance, if we in this room and we had a class assignment and we had to go on stage, he'll let everybody answer their phone, talk on it, while you do your scene, and he will sit back in the front and just take notes to see if you get distracted. He'll let your phone ring. He'll say, if you got your baby with you, they bring your baby. Mm-hmm. So if they crying and playing, he wants to watch you to see if they messing around on the phone to see if you get out your scene and distracted. And I used to hate it, but it was the best thing ever in my life because it, not to say as a human, you're human, you're going to mess up. It's not going to always work. You be perfect. But in your mind, of course, you try in life to be perfect. But this was the greatest thing that taught me a lesson with acting, because it was like, go on stage, Aaron Spicer, everybody get in the class, answer your phones, do what y'all do, and do your scene. Let's see what you do. If you got a cry, I want to see it. It's like you in the class, just you and the teacher. Mm-hmm. And that's it. And that was the greatest thing I ever could have learned in acting with noise, because a lot of people, you can be in a deep moment crying, the scene can be done. Mm-hmm. Somebody stop and you crying and shit because somebody made a noise or a siren went off. They looking like, we're gonna wait till the sirens go off. No, let them fix that in post.
Yeah.
They'll fix that later. I'm in a deep moment right now. Let me stay in it. I'm trying to get an award later. I'm trying to get some acknowledgement when people see me like, that motherfucker's good. You can't get out your moment. He taught me how to stay in the moment. That's the best thing you can do when you acting. It gets everybody out your way. You have no fear. It's like you don't see nothing. Because when you first get a job, you're gonna always have fear. Not fear like you scared, it's just a nervous fear, like, ooh, you want to do perfect. It goes through everybody's body. If it don't, it's not real. Mm-hmm. And once you get over that feeling, it's the best feeling you can have, because it's like, how y'all doing? Let's get this job done and go on about our business. Best thing. So Aaron Spicer, thank you, and J.D. Furtado, thank you.
Do you think they use British actors because they're cheaper? They're willing to take any role.
I'll say that.
They're willing to take any role.
Ooh.
That's a hard one. I would say they do.
Right? It's like they're trying to break into the scene, so they're
going
to
do whatever.
They're going to take whatever.
But I'm saying, if they offer to pay, are they going to be like, oh, we're going to pay you less because you're British?
Yeah. Why not?
It all depends. It's somebody that already has a name, of course. Somebody new.
I feel you.
What's Snowfall?
Damson
Idris.
For someone who really hasn't been on a scene like that, what do you think they paid him for that main role?
They say they didn't even pay him the first seasons or nothing. They say he just now getting paid because he's producing it now.
Okay. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So they put
that's
him
on. That's how you flex, just, though, right? But that's once you get on and his success.
That was probably John Singleton.
Yeah.
At the time.
But now think about it. But if that was a regular actor, they would have had to. Was a known actor. They would have had to pay him.
Had to pay him a lot of money.
For sure. You already know that.
So now you save cost with your main actor. Now, he ain't getting none. So
he took a chance with the main actor finding somebody who ended up being good.
Yeah.
But took a good deep chance getting him probably for nothing. And say, damn, because I can't go get Jackie Long or Tyrese right now. They're going to cost me an arm and a leg.
Especially
he did the
show.
Smart thing. You're and right. Now look what happened. The boy getting his arm and his legs back.
It's like this. It reminds me, like when I look at like Hollywood, basketball terms. So I look at it like what the Bulls did with MJ and them, right? You underpay him so much that
they stay together.
MJ only gets paid for what? Why would you want to get
right?
You think you're better than MJ?
Right.
$250 Now you have a whole cast of this brilliant show. Everybody's cheap.
All right, but that's Hollywood. As you know, that's Hollywood in general. They're gonna f*** you on your first deal no matter what. That's just how the game
goes. Like that's why they
go. You got your worth.
You can now flip it on them because now you get the 3, 4, 5 seasons. It's like shit.
There's a new British coming out. More than a new black American.
Yeah, for sure.
That new girl is, she from, that's on Force.
Okay.
She's on there. She's British.
It's easier to get a new British than it is to get a new black.
It'd be like that movie They Live back in the day where you can't see who the aliens are not. Because I really be believing it until they start talking.
They had nothing but British people in that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man, that shit would have cost them so much if they'd have used Black Hollywood.
So, what do we really attribute that to? Because that's basically kind of, they say go to Britain as the Mecca to go to acting school and learn how to do that stuff. But why can't we get that cracking out here,
Listen. Man, y'all got to think chess, man. You don't think Hollywood is playing chess with Black America right now?
They really is.
We can replace y'all.
Yep.
The audience don't know the difference. Yep. So you run around talking about, I need this, I need that. Come on. You can speak English a little bit, right? Yeah, we'll fix it. Boom,
Are they doing the same thing in the league?
Because I mean, even back then, because you got to remember, he's 40.
Yeah.
Right? So he's in the era where you was only in your age group, the 40, it was one black star.
Yep.
Right? And every not time. Two, it's one.
Yep.
And then you just, so there's like six generations. It's just them. You know, Denzel, you got above Denzel, you got Samuel L.
Chestnuts
Morgan Freeman.
Yep.
So you got them, and then from there it's just motherfucking one.
Yeah.
But do you think it's easier now when like people like Will Smith and Tyra Perry is getting their companies? Is it easier for Black America to really try to get roles? Or is it still
I think it's kind of both now, because if you create and you create the right way and create the right project and you got to create the right budget and get the creation of the right actors, you be straight. That's what old boy did with Black Panther. Mm-hmm. He took a chance and took an opportunity and he did it. But it's in this, what we do, you fight for everything in life, right? You fight to be the starter on the team. You fight to be just to be the sixth man on the team. You fight. So at the end of the day, as a black person, we've been fighting for decades, right? So we don't need to stop fighting now to create our own projects that we know we deserve or what we should get. And sometimes we need some of the British people to make our project better. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we need the biggest white person to make our project better. Sometimes they need us to make their project better. So at the end of the day, all I can say is just hopefully you get lucky and getting the right project, or if not, just keep creating.
That's what it is. It was just about luck, picking the right.
It's luck. And I used to always say being around the right company and this and that. It is, but now it's so easy. Kind of, because social media is so crazy and big now. Like, you can do whatever on it. You can literally start your... I'll tell y'all a problem I do got. The social media people who make it. I got a big problem with that shit.
That shit makes my head hurt.
Because they got talent as hell on social media doing their thing. But when you give them a job, the talent is gone. You don't see it. And I hate the people that's hiring the people out there because of the followers that they have.
Yeah.
Not the talent.
Exactly.
And you get a project, nobody seen it, nobody heard it. They, oh, I did this. I didn't even know. It's because it wasn't good because you got hired because the people that hired you wanted you because you had 8 million followers.
They thought it was going to translate.
And they thought it was going to do something for the movie, and it doesn't. I will get the person with 200 followers, and we'll make the best movie in the world because the people who got the less followers got all the best talent. All the people got all the other shit. Y'all ain't doing shit.
Have you seen this in real life?
Yes.
I'm saying, have you been on set? We don't be on set.
Yes,
yet.
No. But we see the movies.
But do you just be in the theaters like, God damn.
Go to Netflix. Man. They don't make it a theater.
It makes me mad as an actor when I see it like, they could have literally hired me for this. I could have killed this.
Go to Netflix.
I could have did this.
Netflix stays with it.
And it's like they hired this dude. He get an opportunity. I'm just saying her. She ain't did it. But he get an opportunity to kiss Beyonce because he was on social media.
I've been
working all my goddamn life out this. I used to staple my own shit on the back of my goddamn resume. These dudes don't got to do nothing no more. You ain't got to have a headshot. They headshot they can put on social media.
Yeah.
I'm old school. I did this shit from way back in the day. They don't got to do nothing but put their stuff on social media and go get a job. But I thank God for my agencies because they keep me going and keep me popping where I ain't got to worry about them.
But that,
so I'm good.
But that's what it is.
They piss me off.
I watch it too and I be watching. I'm like,
you be like, Jackie should have been in this, huh?
Like, this is...
Jackie should have been in this.
You be watching some of the movies, they be doing like part twos and I'm like,
And sometimes I hate cartoons.
How you get a social media guy to do a part two where they had real actors?
It's stupid.
This is not a real actor. This is... First of all, half the people got famous because of 6 seconds.
The Hello. Vine game.
Vine. Like, 6 seconds in...
Vine. You remember Vine?
6 seconds.
That was what? Six...
Six oh seconds. You was fun. It was 6 seconds funny, and then...
And then he started in a movie with Denzel.
And then 15 seconds funny. So you're telling somebody that, yo, then I can... You're gonna be a great actor off of 15 seconds.
You know how long I had to go to acting class and sit up in that mother for 5-6 hours every day, go home and do an assignment.
You gotta do some business. You gotta.
But that's what I say. This is like, it's, you know, crazy. Social media is kind of really like people be like this. Yo, you funny. You should be a comedian. I like. First of all, I'm Instagram funny because I can edit. Motherfucker, I can sit there 3 hours trying to, you know, come up with the right shit to say.
I'd
watch comedians, but that's not me. I can't do none of that shit.
But you're funny as hell.
I can't do none of that. I'm in the era, you know, we're in the same era. The Corey Holcomb's.
Oh my God.
Def Jam. Watching all of those guys. And you, now it's, as an adult, I get to look and say, I can see why he made it.
Yep.
You know, he has something different.
Yep.
You know, I can see why he didn't make it. Yeah, he was funny then, but he just didn't know how to get over the hump of his art. You know, you just started watching it. You know, just like same thing with NBA. Like, he's summertime good. Mm. All that motherfucker. Michael Jordan, he's Kobe Bryant, he's LeBron James in the summertime. Dude. When you get them rules, them referees, and them fans booing, no. Now, I heard somebody say something on, I think it was with Pat Bev.
Okay.
Pat Bev and ESPN.
Recently?
She was like, I don't know who the young lady was, but she was talking about Bam. Bam was so good in the bubble. Yeah, baby, the bubble. It was the bubble. It was like the bubble.
But nobody there.
Nobody's in
no
the bubble.
No fans there. Was there.
Every star that was in the bubble, you see, since they got out of the bubble, the motherfuckers ain't good no more.
The Lakers got a championship that they say is not a championship.
It counts.
Because it was the bubble.
Go play in front of three people, dog, in Orlando. You can't leave Disney World.
But that's what I said, but when it comes
to... You can't do what you like to do.
I know, but that's what I said, when you're talking about players, right? When you're talking about performing, just like acting, right? It's no different than when they say, all right, you're in the room by yourself versus you, there's a crowd here and they doing whatever they want and you still got to stay with character.
Yep.
That's the same thing as players in the NBA. Some of these dudes are great when no one can see them.
Mm.
In practice, man, I get my ass torn up in practice.
But when that game comes,
they just be sitting there just froze.
That's crazy.
Like, you a practice player. You practice good. You practice all. We need to have a practice all-star team.
We need you the same way you was at practice.
Can't them fans get the booing and cheering and stuff. Same thing with somebody. Like, somebody can go to, players can go to a road game and be nice because they like that atmosphere, being booed and hated. Be at home, goofy to the mother.
Wow, you never even think
Dallas.
That. At boys, home, you'll think you
them boys
up.
Is great at home. They go to Golden State.
They getting their butt whooped.
Can't do
shit.
That.
I mean, that road. They get smacked everywhere.
But as I said, that road is
you'll
different.
Never think of
like
it
you gotta have either. A road. You gotta have a road game.
Wow.
Like in the NBA, like to be great, it's just no different than acting. You gotta understand like quarters, being great in quarters, being great, you know, in certain times of the game. That live 5 minutes, the last 5 minutes, the reason that the stars turn up in the last 5 minutes is because the atmosphere changes. The crowd is into it. They're drunk. It's deeper. Like it becomes this like this show. Yeah, it becomes this show now. And you gotta perform. If you can't perform in these last 5 minutes, you can't be no star.
Wow. Never think of it like
that's
that.
That's the playoff same thing. That playoff, because like the last 5 minutes, that's how playoffs is.
For the whole game?
Playoffs, yeah. Okay. Soon as you come in there, like I remember when we went to Chicago. You come in there and they start booing, you can feel that shit. Woo!
Like, man, you like you can't even dribble the ball.
These are going. Because you can, ain't no plays being caught booing.
Wow.
Shake you. It'll shake you.
Can you hear? You can't hear what's going on.
You can't hear coach calling plays. You can't hear none of that.
That's wild.
Wow.
When they be sitting there yelling, you got 20,000 people talking about defense. You ain't hearing what coach was great for me because I got to pass the ball.
Yeah. Wait, what? You like.
I don't know what he said. What?
Pass the ball. You know what I mean?
You know, but that's the same. You got to learn, like, you got to learn all parts of everything. You know what I mean? Like, I've noticed, like, it seemed like the best actors weird in the mind. Weird. Every single one of them is just weirdos.
You ain't lying.
Because it's like it seemed like you got to hold one. I didn't know, so she was a childhood friend who became famous. She was an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And you have to, when you, the higher you get, the more emotions you can hold at your shoulders. So when they say, cut, all right, action, you can pull it out. Mm. So she said most of our greats, because they can hold all their emotions here and they can pull them out at any time, they're emotional. He said they're so emotional, but they're acting.
Right.
That's what they're doing. They're acting. They're just acting the whole time.
Right.
Like when I watched the Will Smith, that's why when the Will Smith slap,
I thought it was fake.
I still
think the shit fake. I ain't gonna lie.
But
ain't nobody gonna slap me like that and you a comedian walk up and finish. That's what you
said. But it's because of, and then when I see Will Smith and then he's doing his speech and he's tearing and I said, It's acting. That's what makes him good.
And at the end of the day, he's a what?
He's a
great actor.
That's what makes this
Oscar.
But that's what this whole Johnny Depp shit going on. I'd be watching.
Johnny Depp is funny though.
Johnny Depp ain't even looking at his girl. He's shit. I don't even know what you look like. What is you saying, bitch?
But it's
y'all
just,
that Bush.
But that's what I said. You can't trust like when it came to stuff like that. I can't trust in that because I know the secret.
Right.
I know you for you to be that good. 1, 2, 3. All your emotions is here, so you can pull out, think of something, just start crying, and
right,
I didn't mean to slap. Like, I seen you after with the trophy. You over there sitting there doing, let's get jiggy with it. It didn't really hurt you that much. Goddamn, you over there get jiggy with it.
I even thought, keep my wife out your mouth.
Yeah.
Keep my wife out.
Yeah.
It didn't even seem like that was the only time when I seen his acting didn't look like acting. And he's a great actor. It was like he was like, Chris Rock, he did good. He took that step. We're gonna talk about it later. I'm just gonna a bunch of controversy. Watch this shit.
Wait, did y'all see it? Wait, no. They just showed it came from something else. It was the exact same scene. Someone did it before that.
So it was fake. And look, we're not even talking about her doing it.
Like, even Chris Rock's response was the same as the person's response. What's her name? Just slap me.
So,
was that the Marlon Wayans or the Mark Trippin?
I think till this day still, the slap was a piece of crap and it was fake. I'm just being another.
I'm just being.
And
Because that's the thing I always wonder. Like, you got everybody watching, you got kids at home, you got Venus and Serena in the building. I'm not slapping nobody in front of Venus and Serena.
When you just finished playing Richard Williams, you still in character.
Don't mess up their confidence.
He was still in character. No, I just think you would slap somebody in front of Serena Williams and Nip for fun. Because I think it was for fun. It wasn't real. If it was real, no, he wouldn't have slapped nobody in front of Serena Williams and Nip. But that's why I think if you got Denzel sitting behind you, you got all these other beyond greats in the room, and you gonna slap Chris Rock on national TV, and then everything just seemed, they keep saying she looked at him or did this, or everybody been joking about her. Where did he actually say a joke that was wrong? She's bald headed. She could have, he was saying you could have been change the name, G.I. Jane or whatever. It wasn't even something that was like, they say he looked at her and he, let me get up. And go, and then the slap looked like it was choreographed.
He didn't even look at her. Like, there's no footage of him looking at her.
Dude, he gets right up, go do his thing, and walk back like there's nothing, smiling. And then, keep my neck, go to my, take my nail at your mouth. It didn't even look real.
Yeah,
I'm looking at this shit like,
that's what I said.
What is this? Keep my neck at your mouth. Hey, Chris Rock.
I will.
All right. Will Smith, y'all. Just
I will.
Slap
I will. All right. But that's what I said.
And this was Jada.
My man, good.
I'm like, come on, man. That was entertaining for
me. I thought it was fake because when I had a conversation with Will before, I said, what's your talent? What makes you special? And he was like, hey, no one's ever asked me that before. Hold on, let me think about it. It was in the weight room. Not my weight room. It was in my boy's gym. They call it District now, Frank's gym.
Okay, the legend.
It was EPX Entertainment at the time. And he was like, my willingness to fail. He said, most of us are scared to fail at something. He said, I'm willing to fail to be great at it. So he was like, yeah, I just did this golf movie. He said, I did a golf movie. And I'm thinking, I'm Will Smith. Psh, this shit easy. He said, I was so horrible that I got depressed because of it. Wow. How can I be this horrible? Wow. He said, I didn't understand why I'm so bad at this. Like, wait a minute. I'm me. This is a ball, this is a stick.
Right.
Hit the shit.
Right.
And he was like, now I'm waking up every morning playing 6, 7, 10 hours of golf, going to sleep, just for the movie that I'm not even gonna be in the golfer in. But the fact that I went out there and tried the shit and sucked.
I wanna be better.
And he said, that's my skill, that I'm willing to fail to be great at it.
That's why he's great. That's why he had a world doing controversy on the fake slap.
Yeah, but that's what I said. It's like, it's one of those, like, people like, yeah, he ruined everything.
That's dope.
Really? I mean, for a guy who did so many movies and that was his first Oscar, to him, I'm not coming back to this motherfucker. I won.
He should have got that shit, Muhammad Ali. But we can go down the line.
But that's just think about it. He wins an award for playing someone else, not playing himself.
Richard Williams.
I done battled my younger self, whooped his ass. Yep. I done battled zombies by my mother. So I done did all this, and I get an award for playing
for
the tennis
playing
coach,
somebody father. Else.
We can't even say that, like,
real shit,
when
real
we break
shit.
It down, you take the Oscar out, we take that Oscar out, and you name all his work, that Serena, that him playing his father, that father was not going to be in the top 30.
Nope. Yeah. I agree.
No, it will not be in the top 30.
Great job.
What he does.
I say this, just as far, of course it's Will, and of course he got the right person, Will Smith, but I wouldn't want to say it. Nope.
I'm gonna leave it alone. You gotta remember,
Will got the job.
I'm Denzel, and I watched Denzel and Will Smith, and I watched their movies, and I'm sitting here like, Yeah, I would have slapped the motherfucker too if they gave me an Oscar for this shit. If they gave me an Oscar for this shit, I would slap the motherfucker too. I'm gonna take this Oscar when I'm slapping somebody on it. You know how cold you gotta be to slap a go and get your Oscar? All right, where my Oscar at, y'all? Where ain't that shit on in the back? I'm like, going home.
Like, I know you tripping because it's like, it was all them big people there, but they do everything on TV in front of the big star. Look at SNL. That's live and they do crazy stuff.
Yeah, that's like, come on.
It's like, that was the Oscars and what other entertainment did we have that night?
Nothing.
There it go. That was our entertainment for the night.
That was the biggest. I was even watching the shit, and then I saw it blow up on social because everybody like, I know you're going to use this. I'm like, what are y'all talking about? Then I'm like, okay. Is this real?
If me and Gilbert right now slap you, are you going to do something? Or are you not going to press charges or what? Like,
so,
Chris Rock.
So, Gil, knowing Gil's history, I'm probably just going to eat that slap.
He's lying.
And go about my
day. You're going to react first.
I'm going to think about it like, take the...
No. Now, listen. Do you know any of these people in here?
I know everybody in the crew.
Okay.
If they slap me, yeah, it's going to... I mean, even if I'm going to get my ass whipped, I'm going to have to still defend myself.
You're going to do something.
Yeah.
Chris Rock. He could have tore that whole up. Tore that whole stage up. All them old people.
And been right.
Could have did everything. Why didn't he? Because it wasn't real. Because that was me on stage. I don't care if you Will Smith. You're not Will Smith to me no more if you slap me, buddy. I don't even know who you is. I'm beating your ass. That's who you is to me.
Yeah, for sure.
I didn't put hands on you. I'm a comedian. First of all, you know what I do for a living. They got me on here to tell jokes, keep it entertaining. I didn't say no crazy joke to make the world, ooh, look what he said. Wasn't that type of joke. He was just doing his job. Will Smith and all of them together was doing their job, it looked like. They was putting on a show, man. I don't think that was
real.
As I said,
it's like,
it don't
the ratings
real.
Was so high, it was like, he didn't fail. Like,
and everybody was only watching the Oscars to see Will if he was going to get it. Yeah. What other movie was he up against? I don't even know.
That's real shit.
I don't even know who else was his nominees against. I just know it was Will Smith.
If I had a real movie, I'd have been mad that nigga won off that movie. He'd have been snubbed another year. his time came and passed.
Listen, and like Gil said, he got it now. He ain't got to go there no more.
Got it there. Like,
you can kick him out. He don't care.
You put your bet. Like, Morgan Freeman. Does Morgan Freeman? No. One of them just got an honorary Oscar.
Not Samuel L. Jackson. And he shouldn't have a honorary. That man undid everything. He got a show that's playing right now. Thalami Gray.
Yeah.
Amazing. He should get an Oscar for that show.
He should slap somebody too.
He playing Dimension. An old man with Dimension in this movie. Dope. Dope. And he the best slapper in the world.
He should slap somebody when he go get it. The serious, like, you talking about these actors been doing 100, 200, 300 movies. And you saying...
I'm going to get it because...
Hey, you basically... It's like me averaging 30 my whole career. And then I win a championship averaging 5. Hey, man, all right, man. Go ahead and put the ball.
I want to be like...
But it ain't my best work. This ain't my best work. Like, Will Smith can't even say this is his top 30 work.
He definitely wouldn't say that.
Shit.
You got to be like Daniel Day-Lewis. Daniel Day-Lewis, he only do jobs where he know... I'm going to get that Oscar. And then he'll take a break for about 5 or 6 years and just let everybody chill. He going to make some shoes and shit and chill and be like, what movie they want me to do? I don't want to do it. Is it Oscar worthy? Nah, I'm cool. Literally, Daniel Day-Lewis is the only dude that got 3 leading role Oscars.
So, Real Husbands of Hollywood, back on the air streaming.
Boom.
What's it like for you to have to work with a dude like Kevin Hart? And how hard is it to keep a straight face and stay in character when you're on set with him?
Man, it's not even working. It's like literally us having a good time right now on this set. Like, literally, they come to us. We be in the trailers playing video games, like 2K and Call of Duty. They be saying, hey, we need y'all on set in 5 minutes. Kevin will be on an interview, doing a meeting, doing something else, playing the video game. Whatever going on, we go on set and literally just know the subject or the topic that they really wrote. It's a scripted show.
Yeah.
But we just add on an improv and they just let us go. So it's like being there, where else do you want to be? Mm-hmm. It's like you work with all the great legends, producers and directors. You got Stan Lathan, you got Ralph Kwai over there, and then you got Chris Spencer, all these great writers. You get to work with Kevin Hart, you got Boris Kojo, Dwayne Martin. I mean, I can go down the line. It's just different people from different things, and we all like, when we do that show, it's like we family. Everybody just go from each other's trailer, joking all day, having fun. We don't work. We really don't work. Like, I always tell myself, like, I love BET. I love them to death. They helped me out in my career. They helped me out in my life. But I don't want to do no shows for BET no more in my life, only Real Husbands. Okay. Because I play myself. And I'm just being real. It's the best show to have going on over there at BET just because of the stars and stuff that we have over there that I get to learn from. I'm like the youngest one over there. Mm-hmm. So I get to learn from all these dudes and just, they like my father sometime, how I consider them. Like, they be like, Jack, you been doing good. You been standing up. You been staying in the gym. You been doing your thing. Okay, just making sure what you working on. They make sure when I'm around them, I get so much motivation, like, just even looking at them, the way they dress or something later. I'd be like, okay, I'm at this age, now I got to switch it up. I can't keep doing this. Okay, I see.
Keep it going.
You know what's up?
Keep it going.
Speaking of that, Jay Smooth.
JB Smooth.
JB Smooth. You were even like, yeah, I'm thinking about being a cowboy this whole year.
Man, JB Smooth, oh, my God, dude.
This whole year.
You can't work with him. You cannot work with a JB Smooth, dude. This dude will have you laughing all day. And everybody is so amazing on the show. But JB, his timing, his just everything as a person working with him, you just grateful because it's like, what is he going to do? You never know. And he goes. It's a scene this year where we was in the ring and he gets beat up. He goes, they let him go for about 5 minutes crawling on the floor, getting on the rope, going down, falling. He doing all this stupid stuff. And Kevin and us, we trying to stay in character and we just dying laughing. And it's like, it's so amazing, man. It's like Kevin, you would think as rich as he is, as busy as he is, he still comes out, talks to us, hang with us, talk, do whatever, like ask us questions, what's going on, what you been up to, what you doing, let's do this, give us a pointer to, hey, y'all, we killing this scene. Hey, Jack, add this up to that, say that, say that, do this. It ain't nothing like, don't do that, don't say that. Nah, he wants everybody to be funny. He wants you to be funny, and he just wants you to have a blast and give the people something that they can always talk about till we gone. And this show is, like I say, BET, I love y'all. But just keep me on that show. I'm ready. Y'all sign out. Shit.
So when you look through your whole career, you've done a ton of stuff, man. You've been on a ton of TV shows, a ton of films. What's been your favorite project to work on?
This movie, Body. Okay. It's a movie Eminem produced, and it was directed by Joseph Kahn. It's a rap battle movie I played in, and it stars me and this dude, Kalen Worthy, from where Kalen play? He played off so much. He came from Disney.
Yeah.
And I told him he had never worked for Disney again after that movie we did. Never. But it's this movie Body. It's a rap battle movie. And it was the greatest because it was my first movie I had to do. I couldn't improv. So it was a challenge for me because I'm always adding stuff and doing this. And director was like, no. I would add stuff because I'm like, it sounds better this way if I say it this way. No, nigga, you saying it this way. Mm-hmm. And the dialogue that I have of pages, it was like not just one, a half a scene and somebody talking. It was me the full page of dialogue because I had to battle rap. And I had to learn how to do the whole, like, learning from how like, what the words meant to so I can pronounce them right and deliver the delivery of it. It was like the most work ever in my life I ever did for a movie. Just learning the words, what they meant to say them, because I was using big ass words. And it was like, because my character was like this real smart, educated dude. And my daughter had cystic fibrosis to the lungs. And I was a dude who was a video game designer. But I did battle rap on the side to take care of my family and my daughter. So it was like I had this little clique of crew. And this one dude, he did poetry, but he wanted to end up doing a thesis report on me on the word nigga. And I'm like, what? So I take him around, but he ended up really being this amazing battle rapper. And he was like my little protege. So I teaches him the ropes of the battle rap
history of it and all this, and telling what he shouldn't do and what he don't, what he should do and what he shouldn't do. But in the movie, of course, he does something that he shouldn't do and drills me, and talks about my daughter. The most, it's crazy. It's a very woke movie, racist. It's everything you can think of. It's like the best. It's like the movie is explaining to you how to use your words instead of using your guns and your fists. It's like this battle rap. And let's go there. You know what I'm saying? But we won a lot of awards. We won a Screen Actors Guild.
It's called Body?
Yep, Body. B-O-D-I-E-D. And it was produced by Eminem.
Okay.
Aleem know about it. He was around. And shout out to my boy Al B. He helped me on that. That boy helped me, boy, nonstop. I don't think I had no sleep going over this movie. Like, literally, it was study, go to set. Study, go to set. Because I had so much dialogue. Like, other stuff that y'all see me in, that stuff is like a day or two, you learn them lines, that's nothing. Mm-hmm. It's like, that was easy. Like, Power, I was out there for a month and something. That was easy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was like, okay, I got to be a gangster, say these words to Mary. I got to go on the bridge, say all this stuff. That's easy. The challenge is doing stuff that you scared of. You know what I'm saying? I was scared to do this movie. I didn't want to do this movie. Yeah. I told my mom, like, Mom, why they got me here? I can rap, but I'm not a rap battler. Yeah. I had to really go on YouTube and search every damn battle rapper in the world damn near just to see how they don't have the fear with all these people just staring at you and you using your words and your quick, you just that wise to come up with the words this fast and say stuff disrespectful and nice about some guy.
Yeah.
And he don't hit you or swing on you?
Well, shit. Most of the time.
You know, we got every battle rapper damn near in the world in it. We got Disaster. We got...
I was going to ask you.
I can't even think all the... We literally, name me some battle rapper. I'll tell you who all was in it.
Shit.
Literally.
I know Disaster. I've been watching Disaster.
Like, do you see Body? Look up Body. Look up Body.
Was a Daylight.
B-O-D-I-E-D.
So I grew up with this kid, Lush One, who used to like run a lot of those battle rap competitions and stuff. So I was just watching him and like Disaster and these cats going at it randomly.
I'm telling y'all, watch the movie. It's on, I think, Prime Amazon.
Okay, Prime.
Y'all can watch it. It's a great movie. You'll definitely like learn something from it. And it's dope. It's dope. The trailer, everything. Eminem, man. He did. It's like another, what was his movie
Big
called?
Miles.
Yeah.
Okay.
But just a little bit slightly different, you know?
So let's switch it to the video game.
A lot of cultural appropriation. I tell you that.
There's a lot of going on.
A lot of cultural appropriation.
So let's switch to the video game front. You got the opportunity to work with DJ Pooh. For me, for people who grew up in LA, you know, watch Friday. I mean, just seeing DJ Pooh's catalog, I don't ever feel like he gets the love and respect he deserves. For me, like, I do a lot of stuff in the meme space. And everybody's like, what's your favorite stuff to use? It's always Friday, DJ Pooh-related stuff. Even him in the watch, two punk-ass quarters, this what this about? But you got to work with him on Grand Theft Auto 5, man. So tell me just with that, because, I mean, look, playing those games, I don't play a lot of video games, but that shit, for me, when they came out, and just how organic it was and how authentic it sounded, and you playing character D from Ballers.
Man.
Like, how does that go down, and what's it like working with a dude like Pooh?
Man, first, just knowing Pooh, because I'm very close with, like, Snoop and everybody. So Snoop... I mean, Pooh always is around because I think he helped even Snoop design his compound and everything. Okay. And I got some friends, my boy Meezy and my boy G, real close with DJ Pooh. And our boy Dunny, rest in peace, who just passed away. They was real close with DJ Pooh. So every time I'm around them, DJ Pooh would come over there smoking weed and chilling all the time. So I'm like, I love DJ Pooh. You know, I'm... low-key being a groupie, I'm fan, because I know who he is. I'm like, that DJ, but as he knew who I was, of course, and when you got that bum and you know people, it just seemed like y'all family. That was years ago. He told me that day, me first time meeting, because he knew who I was, he was like, hey, man, you know I be working on Grand Theft Auto. I said, didn't know that, but glad I do. I'm gonna hook you up, I think, on the second one when we do it, because I think he did it twice.
Okay.
So he said, on second one, I'm going to give you a call. Man, I thought, Hollywood talk. Like DJ Pooh just telling me that because he know I'm a fan of his. Mm-hmm. He just talking. He called my agent. I was shocked. My agent said, some Rockstar company wants you to do, you have to come and do the voiceover and all this stuff. And they paying this, da, da, da. I said, huh? I didn't audition for this. They said, I know, it's weird. I'm still not thinking because they said rock star. Yeah. And they didn't say Grand Theft Auto yet. They just said, I'm like, rock star voiceover. Then they call me when they give me the paperwork. It says, for Grand Theft Auto, D from Ballers. I'm looking at the thing, DJ Pooh, blah, blah, blah. I got on my knees and said, are you serious? DJ Pooh literally gave me a role in the damn video game, and this shit's still out right now to this day.
Oh, no, I'm
they ain't even updated it.
Nigga, I'm a multi-billionaire, that mother. Game boy.
Helicopter submarine. You already did my scene, man.
I go straight to online.
Also, you ain't get the storyline.
No, I go straight to online.
I'm in the story mode.
Okay.
The whole story. I die in it. Don't tell. Yeah, I die. I die in it. Just yeah.
When you saw that, you were like, damn, dog. I mean, come on, Pooh. Keep my shit going.
It's just like in Power. I was in that thing for 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. And Grand Theft Auto for a game that's been around for this long, and kids can sit down, I don't care if you didn't even know what I looked like. You can hear my voice and playing the game. I'm grateful, dude. I'm grateful. People was making fun and jokes when I got killed by Mary J. Blige. Hey, man, we want to see you more. We want to see you right there for the whole day. I said, you don't think I did neither? But as an actor, you got to do what they tell you to do. But what I did do, I tell y'all this. The scene that y'all did see with Mary J. Blige, majority of that wasn't even my lines. I added them because I was dying. They said I was gonna die. So I said, I'm not, in my head, I'm not gonna say these whack ass lines and I'm about to die. I need to disrespect her. Mm-hmm. She about to kill me anyway. I went to Mary. I said, Mary, I'm gonna change these lines a little bit. And I might say, then I might call you a bitch if that's okay. And blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't want to disrespect her. You know, she's married.
And what but when you ask her that, and just having the you know, the courage, and what did she say?
She was gangster. Do what you want to do, baby. I said, say no more. I told 50. I said, Fifth, I'm finna do the scene, dog. I'm finna do it. He said, come and let me when you're done. Tell me when you're done, Jackie. I said, say no more. Literally, I did all that stuff. And she let me rock with it. From me walking up to her, that was me. From saying, ain't nothing like a pretty bitch bringing you some money, that was all me. No, I said, these lines is too corny for a gangster who about to die. Yeah. Like, give me something to go out with. Don't give me something this corny. Uh-huh. That's not gangster. So I said, fine, I got my grills. I said, I want to wear my grills. I said, I want a scar under my eye. He said, do what I want to do. Literally, let me do what I want to do. And it happened, but I got the call. They was like, I guess they was debating if they wanted me to go longer, but they cut me off. But literally, it was the best time and one of the biggest scenes ever for somebody to have the smallest role.
Yeah, that was nice.
It's like they know me as Rico Barnes right now. I'm like so happy because I'm so tired of Esquire. I'm so tired of motherfucking Esquire. And no, we're not doing an ATL too, so don't ask me.
What's that like for you? When you talk about a movie like ATL and how iconic it is, even to this day, and I feel like a lot of careers got, T.I. was obviously doing the rap stuff, but whatever, a lot of careers really got elevated from that project. What's it like for you now to still be able to walk around? Because I know, especially if you're in the South, like, they don't really understand there should be movies. Like, they really think
let me know that I don't look 40.
Yeah,
that's what it lets me know. Mm-hmm. It lets me know, like, damn, they still calling me Esquire. Like, it lets me know I didn't get older or I didn't get younger. He the same dude, but obviously, of course, it was such a great movie for our demographic and everything. It was one of the best. You know, just to people think I'm from Atlanta. I'm not even from Pasadena, California, man. But, you know, just to have this type of movie, like a classic like that in your career, like every movie can be a classic, but to have that one classic that everybody loves, You can't ask for none better, man. And just to be around at the time when T.I. was first just really getting started and how he showed us around Atlanta, which was amazing, working with all the new actors at the time, Lauren London and the twins. And then you had Al B, who was new. Then to work with some greats, Michael T. Williamson, who played Uncle George. Then you got Will Smith and them, who produced the movie under Overbrook. So we was like around so much talent with Dallas Austin. We had everybody named Mama on our sets, from Jermaine Dupri to Puffy to Tyler Perry. Like, literally, when they wasn't even, nobody wasn't even popping. Mm-hmm. We had all these people on our set, literally every day, and just to be around it and learn, like when you was talking about Will Smith learning in golf, Will Smith put me, my character, in golf every day in Atlanta, where I had to wake up every day to go play golf because my character played the golf. I didn't know how to play golf. Mm-hmm. It literally, waking up every morning to go play golf, and as a kid, you know, you young, you tired, mm-hmm. you don't want to wake up, but when you on set, you don't, you ain't never sleep. Mm-hmm. You woke all day, so I was like, waiting to go there and just learn. Every morning was like, wow, these dudes is really taking their time and the money with the money to put us in acting school. All of us had to go to acting class. Like while we was out there shooting the movie, we had days on our days off. They put all the boys together and then some days all of us together because they wanted our bond to be like they really is friends. Because remember, we didn't know each other. Yeah. Everybody, it was our first time going to Atlanta. Me, Neil, I was down there by myself, no family. Only person who had family was Evan Ross. He had his mama out there. We had Diana Ross out there.
Wow.
We had Diana Ross on set in the sun at the pool scene.
Just hanging out.
And I'm
out.
Just like, that's Diana Ross. And then her Tracy was there. Her other daughter. So it was like, the things we seen, first time director, directing a movie, Chris Robinson. It was amazing. It's like the bond that we had on that film, we still have to this day. I know people don't see it so much, but when we get around each other, it's like, we love it. I talk to Lauren down there every week. If that every month, like I always hit her with a text, hit her with a call, just check in. T.I., we always run into each other, see each other, talk. Me and Al B talk, Brooklyn, do play Brooklyn every day. Evan still calls me and Al B, come over, come kick it. Damn near every day. And it's nothing changed. The twins, they got a podcast. They want me to do their podcast. Like, it's we all connected. Like, we all see each other's kid. I'm the only one out of everybody, out of the whole damn cast, that 40 ain't got a kid. I ain't even got one yet, but we ain't going to talk about that because my mama might see this. And
just keep
Just
throw them out there.
Yeah, we ain't going to talk about it.
You're doing a good job trying not to have them.
I did good. It's like, but nah, everybody has kids. We so bonded with each other. It's like, it's love, man. And I always tell people, they ask, are y'all doing ATL too? I always tell people, just get that out y'all head. They better off putting us all in another movie together and starting up. It's too many memories with ATL that's good and bad.
Yeah.
It's like, we done with that. We 40 years old. What we gonna do now? Y'all gonna see us doing what we doing in real life, raising kids as the characters? If that's the case, I need to write it. Somebody, whatever, we can write an action movie for us. We done went from love or true story to action movie or something. I don't know, but get that ATL out y'all head. It's dead.
Put it all social media stars in it. Do it and put it on Netflix.
Listen, I'm not watching it.
That shit gonna go straight to Netflix.
Listen, you heard me. You heard me. I'm not finna, man, listen. I'm done with ATL. I produce some. They should do a cartoon of us. Like they did Friday, make an ATL cartoon. That'd be amazing. Let us do the voices for it if they want it. If not, get some social media.
That's how you do it, yeah.
But I'm just saying, that movie's, some classics don't need to be touched. And even if I wasn't in this movie, I watched that movie and I liked that movie. If I wasn't in it, I'd be like, that movie is great how it is. Some things don't need to be a two. Just keep them a one. You can name 10 things on your hand right now that shouldn't have never been a two. Literally. Yep. You'd be like, they should have never did that. They should have never did that. Keep going. You can go down the line. And it's just real. Some things don't, and that's a movie that don't need to be another. You ain't going to finish see another Boys in the Hood. What are they going to do, bring Ricky and them back from the dead? What they call it?
Ricky's kid,
no,
running to shoulder.
When it's in pastime or whatever. But they want to show him in coming in pastime when he was doing in football.
Hey, they did that shit in whatever the Scream movie was, and I lost it in the theater, bro.
We don't need twos if they so great. Now, if it's a movie where you can see him like the Tom Cruise movies where you see
there's
it.
There's an action.
Yeah, they're leading the James Bond.
Movies are easier to.
Yeah, like they never should have did literally, I'm just. And they doing it one now. I thought they shouldn't have never did a Best Man. I liked how they was.
Yeah.
I liked how the first one was, and it was great. The story, now they doing, they on their third one now, fourth?
Independence Day.
Ones is what you need.
What's the
unless it's a class. Like, you can do another Black Panther, but I wouldn't even want to do another Black Panther. just because of you know why.
Yeah.
I would leave it alone.
What's so funny is that's going to be weird to watch.
Who's going to be? I don't want to see no other Black Panther.
Yeah.
I don't want to see my black ass as Black Panther.
Yeah.
And I'm just not saying that because the dude was so great at the Black Panther. And I know it's the world. You have to replace it and move on. I wouldn't even do another one. It's like he was the Black Panther. Kids think he was really Black Panther.
Yeah, I know.
They was crying and shit. Like he the real Black, which he is.
Yeah.
But they really, it's no other Black Panther, man.
Dang, you know how great a movie have to be if you go from Jackie Robinson.
He went from James Brown.
And then you would be on.
And another one.
Thurgood Marshall.
And he don't even look like Thurgood Marshall.
Jackie Robinson, James Brown, Thurgood Marshall, Black Panther.
And then, but then
they said close enough.
But Black Panther trumps them all now.
Yep.
He's only known as Black Panther.
And nope, not even Jackie Robinson.
All those get washed out because of Black Panther.
And that's why they don't even need to do no other Black Panther. It made so much money. It's like people now it's gonna make regular money. Nobody gonna go see it. Now.
But that's how you already know. But we made this.
As long as there's a lot of Black people in it, Black people gonna go. It's Black Panther.
Okay, but who else we need to go see the movie? It can't just be all us. We want everybody to see that movie.
What's so funny is if they wouldn't have killed off
Michael B. Jordan, he could have played it.
Yep.
That's the only person, like he said, that could have played him. Black Panther, and we would have still got the same treatment.
But
we know he did.
Yeah, because there's no other actor inside the movie that can replace him. That was just the only dude,
that bad guy. But, the one where
but he's not famous enough.
Exactly. That's why I'm saying he couldn't do
it. We didn't see Michael B. Jordan actually die.
He didn't really die.
We see him die. We seen him at the sunset. We see him die.
The nigga dead.
I know.
Rub some roses. Rub some of that flower on
there.
The nigga dead. The nigga dead.
But Hollywood,
you know that part when he choked in the blood? That last bit of blood went back in his mouth. And he survived.
Yeah.
What?
You know, at the beginning, I feel like this is stupid. And then after that, I get it.
I remember he touched his skin and he made him the Black Panther and he didn't die for 5 seconds. I remember. But yeah, Michael B. Jordan would be the only one, but we know that he died, so that's on them.
Well, Jack, we appreciate you pulling up, man. It's been a great convo. Yeah, let's get that round of applause. We got a little crew here.
We got a little crew hanging out in the back.
Yo, hating ass.
This has been another episode of No Chill with Gilbert Arenas. We'll be back with more very soon.